A text seems so appropriate for these days. Let us take a moment to pray. Great God, we have heard your word, and we know it speaks to us, to our needs now. And so we ask you to come with your spirit, move upon us and in our hearts, that we might hear and receive the message that you have for each one of us. Use your spirit to fill me and use me as I share this message. Amen. One of Irma Bombeck's favorite Jewish grandmother stories goes like this. The grandmother took her grandson to the beach one day, complete with bucket, shovel, and sun hat. The grandmother dozed off, and as she slept, a large wave dragged the child out to sea. The grandmother awoke and was devastated. She fell to the ground on her knees and she prayed, God, if you save my grandchild, I promise I'll make it up to you. I'll join whatever club you want me to. I'll volunteer at the hospital, give to the poor, and do anything that makes you happy. Suddenly, a huge wave tossed her grandson onto the beach at her feet, and she noticed color in his cheeks, and his eyes were bright. He was alive. As she stood up, however, she seemed to be upset. She put her hands on her hips. She looked skyward, and she said sharply, he had a hat, you know. Isn't that how it goes with some people? They never seem satisfied. They're always complaining. Take the Israelites in today's story, free at last. The Israelites were free from the slavery to the Egyptians. Their great leader, called by God, Moses, went to the unnamed Pharaoh and said, let my people go. When Pharaoh did not cooperate, God sent some, well, rather unpleasant plagues. God turned the water into blood. That would be having me change my mind right away. Apparently, it didn't work for Pharaoh. God tormented the people with an overabundance of frogs, then gnats, and lice, then flies. He gave the livestock a horrible disease, and then the people and the beasts were burdened with painful boils. God sent hail as never before to cover and destroy the land. And then, as if that was not enough, God sent locusts to cover the earth and ate every remaining plant after the hailstorm. When Pharaoh still refused to let the Israelites go, God sent the ninth plague, darkness over Egypt for 3 days. It was so dark that the people could not see one another. The tenth plague that God sent was death. Death to every firstborn child, including Pharaoh's firstborn son. And finally, Pharaoh sent the Israelites away. Finally, under Moses' leadership, the Israelites were free, and into the wilderness they went. Moses trusted God's guidance to lead his people to the promised land. It would be a 40-year grueling journey. And prior to the text that was read for us this morning, the people needed food. They complained to God, and God came through with provisions of quail and manna, fresh manna every day, so they could have enough food. And then in today's story, we read that they could not find enough water to drink. They feared for their lives, and so they turned to Moses, and once again, they complained. Moses, did you bring us out here to die a slow, painful death from thirst? By now, Moses was getting pretty darn tired of their complaining. We read that he even feared for his life. I have to wonder if Moses wasn't feeling a bit frustrated with God, too. He didn't want this assignment in the first place. Couldn't God make things on this journey flow just a bit more smoothly? Now, putting that aside, Moses went to God on behalf of the people to ask for help. And of course, God came through with a solution, as he always does. When I read stories like this in the Bible, I can find it very easy to quickly criticize the Israelites. But if the truth be told, I have to admit that we are no different today. When things don't go our way, we are quick to complain. When life gets tough, we have our doubts about God, and we look for another solution to our problems. Maybe stocking up on toilet paper. The Israelites obviously were forgetful about all God did for them in the past. Remember, they were slaves in Egypt. It was a rough and unhappy life they had there, and God got them their freedom. They witnessed God's power when he sent the plagues on the Egyptians to get their freedom. They witnessed God's power when he parted the Red Sea. They experienced God's protection. And when they needed food while they journeyed, God provided them with a fresh daily supply of manna for food. Did they forget all of that? Were they really willing to threaten Moses' life? God revealed his mighty power to provide for them in the past. Surely God would provide for them again. It's so easy for us to point our fingers at them and say, "Shame on you." And yet when life gets hard for us, do we always remember God's faithfulness to us? Or do we complain? Indeed, when we have struggles, God wants us to come to him. He wants us to ask for help. But there's a difference between complaining and asking God for help. When we complain, our motivation is to be heard so we can acquire pity for what's distressing us. Yes, we seek a resolution to our problems, but we want more than that. We want inner satisfaction, recognition that we have a right to be upset about something. And sometimes our complaining is used to place blame for our problems on other people, even when we may have brought the problem on ourselves. When we take our need to God in prayer with a motivation of trust, on the other hand, we are acknowledging that we are dependent on God. And we know that God can help us. Our prayers are a sign that we recognize God's greatness and power, that all things are possible for those who put their trust in God. So we discover in this story that the Israelites complained when they were in need. But we also learn from what Moses named the place where this episode occurred that the people's expression of displeasure was also an attempt to test God. When they asked Moses, "Is God here with us or not?" they really were saying something like, "If God is with us, then why are we without water? Let God prove to us that he is here with us by giving us water." John Wayne Brown Jr. was a snake-handling evangelist.
Ugh.
He was bitten. I'm not doing that, people. He was bitten one day by one of his own timber rattlesnakes in the middle of his sermon. And though Brown continued to speak to the people of Rock House Holiness Church that October night in 1998, he soon collapsed. The congregation gathered around him, praying and trying to cool him with an electric fan, but Brown was dead within minutes. Brown, 34, had handled snakes since he was 17 and had survived 22 previous bites. He left behind 5 orphan children. You see, his wife, Melinda, died from a snake bite during a revival service just 3 years prior to his death. One pastor who was on stage with Brown the night of his death said he didn't think the tragedy would make the church change its practices. "I think they will be more careful about handling serpents," he said. I think they will wait until the Lord moves on them." "A lot of people don't understand us," he offered. "We're just normal people." "Yeah, but we believe in God's word."
"Really?
If they believe in God's word, why do they feel the need to test God's power and protection by the handling of those dangerous snakes?" In today's scripture, the Israelites dared God to do something to help them. They threatened to return to Egypt, saying they were better off in Egypt. Like spoiled children, they threatened to abandon God and God's plan unless they got what they wanted. Imagine, just imagine God's exasperation with the people. In Psalm 95, the writer captures some moments of this event. Just listen. "Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns." And why? Because God is the best. He's the best high king over all the gods. In one hand, he holds deep caves and caverns. And in the other hand, he grasps the high mountains. He made ocean. He owns it. His hands sculpted the earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him on your knees before God who made us. Oh, yes, he's our God. And we're the people he pastures, the flock he feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. Don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising. That's today's scripture, the bitter uprising. As on the day of the wilderness test, when our ancestors turn and put me to the test. For 40 years they watched me at work among them, as over and over they tried my patience, and I was provoked. Oh, was I provoked. Can't they keep their minds on God for just 5 minutes? So they simply refused to walk down my road. Exasperated, I exploded. They'll never get where they're headed, never be able to sit down and rest. Did you notice that the psalmist began by telling his listeners to praise God and to stay focused on God? And then in the second half of the psalm, he reminds them of this part of their history and we've been thinking about, and he challenges his listeners to resist the childlike behavior of their ancestors when tough times come around. Instead, remember who God is, his power, his glory. Remember his promises to you, to be faithful to you. Remember and praise God instead of testing and throwing a temper tantrum. So far, we've been able to identify two reactions of the Israelites to the drought: complaining and testing God. But my friends, there's something else going on here. There's something bigger going on. The bigger problem for the Israelites was not the drought of the water that they needed to drink. It was the drought that was in their souls, their spiritual drought. They had forgotten God. Their focus was on themselves and their physical thirst, not on God's power, not on God's previous care for them. And God did come through again. He provided life-saving water. He commanded Moses to hit a rock with his staff. I would have loved to have seen that. He told Moses to hit a rock with his staff, and when he did, water flowed from it. God saved his people, even though they really did not deserve it. The drought was over. They physically had water. They spiritually had living water. And the good news for us, brothers and sisters, is that God provides living water for us if we experience spiritual droughts. Jesus Christ is our rock, and from him flows thirst-quenching living water. It washes away our complaints. It cleanses the feeling to test God, demanding that God prove that he is with us. Following Jesus, living and loving as Jesus loved, keeps us focused on God. And then, no matter what happens, friends, no matter what storm comes, nothing will shake us. God is, Jesus is, the rock that quenches our thirst. Amen.